Hey, friends, and welcome to Body Image with Bree, the podcast. I am your host, Bree, or Brianna Campos. I'm a licensed mental health counselor in the state of New Jersey, and I'm also a body image coach and educator. I also have clinical experience working with eating disorders. This podcast is designed to help you make peace with your current body. Join me as we explore the ins and outs of diet culture, body image, and learn how to make peace in the skin you're in. Hey, friends, and welcome to another episode of Body Image with Bree. I am your host, Bree, or Brianna Campos. And I'm excited that you're here. Whether you are a first-time listener or a long-time listener, thank you for being here. I appreciate you. So I'm going to be real honest. I always say I'm nothing if I'm not vulnerable, and that vulnerability is my superpower. But podcasting has been a real struggle for me, and I'm not entirely sure why, because I get to have these amazing interviews with incredible professionals. I get to talk about topics that are really meaningful to me. But I started to notice this pattern in my life where I have a hard time prioritizing things. And so I can't give it my attention. And then especially if I don't feel good at something, then I tend to avoid it. So even these intros, I just struggle with. I'm not entirely sure why. But I had a great, amazing conversation with my team. I work with some incredible folks, and we have created a new system that I think is going to be a win for you, a win for me. It's going to be a win-win-win, as they say in the office. So a shift is coming here at Body Image with Bree, and I just ask you to hang tight and to trust me that it's going to be for all of our benefits. And this is currently being recorded in June of 2021. And y'all, this is the summer of self-care. We are going to take care of ourselves, and that is going to be our top priority. And so with that, these changes that are coming are definitely going to be not only for your benefit, but for mine too. And so that we can continue to get out these amazing conversations on body image that are quintessential to a person's life and experience. There's an SAT word for you, quintessential. So with that, let's talk about today's episode, because I've been holding out and it's a good one, y'all. I got to speak to my friend and fellow colleague, Natalie Peacock, who is a therapist in Denver, Colorado. And she actually works with Rebecca Marvick, who was a podcast guest earlier in the season. Natalie is a tremendous therapist. She works from a trauma-informed lens, health at every size, and she loves to bake, and she has an amazing partner, and they're just the cutest ever. And I love them so much, and I've really grown to love Natalie. We've just become really amazing friends via Instagram, which is incredible to me. But I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to see her in real life now that the pandemic, COVID's over. I'm just kidding. COVID is not over. but that, we're allowed to travel and be out and all of those good things. But Natalie does something really well. So when I asked her if she would do a podcast on this topic with me, she told me I would be honored to. And that thing is sitting in the suck. Now, if you've heard me talk about sitting in the suck, it's kind of a hard concept to explain. It was actually derived from one of my longtime group members who she just put it in that way. And I said, that's it, sitting in the suck. And she gave me permission to use it. But when we look at grief, when we look at the perspective of body image through grief, there is a stage in grief called depression. And that's usually when that hopelessness comes around, specifically around our bodies. And sometimes we just have to sit in the suck. And so in this episode, Natalie and I talk all about sitting in the suck and grief. We talk about photo grief. She had recently, at the time, just gotten some engagement photos done. And so we were able to, you know, talk through that process together. And I imagine it's going to be relatable for a lot of people. Now, before we get to the episode, I would be remiss if I did not share that with the change that is coming in my business, it also means that bittersweetly, the signature programs I have offered over the last year are coming to a final launch. So what does that mean? It means my professional program, which is my body image supervision program, and my body grievers group are both launching for the last time this summer. So if you have heard of my programs before, you've said, I'll do it later. Now is the time. I don't want you to panic. If you can't make it into these groups, we will have a new supplemental offer in the fall. But if you want to get in on the group before the offers change, then get it while the offer is still available. So if you are interested in joining, please check out the link in my bio on my Instagram or on my website, www.bodyimagewithbree.com. So before we begin the episode, as I like to say, all my podcasting friends say that this podcast episode is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only and cannot be a replacement for medical or mental health advice. And if you like the episode, please like, subscribe, and share it. Leave a review or comment. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of Body Image with Bree. I am so excited to interview my dear friend, my IG BFF, Natalie Peacock. Hi, Nat. How are you?
Hi, sweet Bree. I'm so excited to be here and talk to you today.
I just love you so much.
I love you more. Like, honestly, the joy that you bring to my life is just unmatched.
How did we connect on Instagram? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure, like, I had a fangirl crush on you for a long time. And I was like, I think I was like trying to slide into your DMs and like get you to notice me. Honestly, if we're being honest, like, I honestly think that that's what happened.
I think we acknowledged that we were both Enneagram 2. And so then when I started seeing Enneagram 2 stuff, I started sharing it with you, and yeah. I think that sounds familiar.
that sounds familiar, but I'm pretty sure I was like sliding into your DMs, like every time you'd post something, you'd be like, oh, I love this. Like, this is amazing. I resonate so much with this, just so that you would notice me. And then I think you finally did. And then we started to become friends and I was like, oh, I'm in.
No, I have loved you. I have followed you. I always get your Instagram handle wrong. I always say your need to bake, but your need to talk.
But I also need to bake.
You do. And you're a baker and you're just so many things. You're a mental health counselor. You're a fiance and you're an Enneagram too. So my heart is just connected to you in so many ways, even though we are so far apart. We've never actually met in real life, but that's going to change.
Which is post-pandemic. Very hard to believe.
I know. So I always start off my podcast this way. Can you describe a recent body image discomfort or bad body image moment that you've had recently?
Yeah. You know, in thinking about that, I started to realize that like my bad body image moments, they still happen, of course, after being in recovery from dieting and chronic dieting and obsession with my body. They still happen, of course, but they're much more few and far between, which was such a healthy realization for me. They don't come up as often anymore. Mm-hmm. Not to say that they don't, but they don't come up as often, or if they do come up, they don't stay for long. But there has been one thing that sort of just, you know, been on my mind this last year, especially. I knew that, you know, my partner and I were becoming more serious And I knew that there was an engagement in our future. We had talked about it, and you know, we were pretty open about what we wanted and, you know, what we wanted for ourselves in our future. And so I knew that this was sort of coming in very soon. And the thoughts leading up to it, Brie, were very much like scrutinizing what my body may look like in pictures of our engagement, which sounds like a very small, trivial thing, but it was on my mind a lot in this last year, especially just thinking about how I might look next to him. My partner is relatively small, and he's smaller than I am in some ways. And I have thought about the way that we might look side by side, and that, oh, I might look bigger than him. And when we get engaged, like, how will that look? And will that look bad? Will that look weird? Will I look bigger than him? And sort of realizing that those thoughts were coming from obviously a place of insecurity and a place that also societal expectations of what partners should look like. Especially like this idea that women should be smaller than their male partners in a heterosexual relationship. You don't see a lot of images in the media of, you know, bigger women with smaller men. So that was on my mind a lot. What are people going to think if they see that? What is that going to look like? Is it going to look terrible? Should I try to get my body smaller just so that I can look smaller than he looks? And I was able to shut those thoughts down when they came up, but I still noticed that they were on my mind. When we did get engaged, Brie, it was a couple weeks ago. It was so wonderful. It was so beautiful. And that thought wasn't on my mind at all. And I think that part of that was working through some of those thoughts as they came up and trying to shut them down. But they really affected me because it was on my mind more than the thought of getting engaged, honestly. Instead of thinking about how special that moment might be, I was thinking about how my body might look next to his and how my body would look next to his in a future wedding dress. Just those thoughts. And I think that also diet culture has infiltrated the wedding industry in so many ways. And so that was sort of on my mind. If I can, you know, pinpoint something that's been on my mind in some body image discomfort, negative body image thoughts, that's sort of what comes up for me.
I think that is so relatable because I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to where does that expectation come from? And when we look at society, when you look at like Disney, that there's always a small bodied princess and a very muscular prince, right? And that's just one picture of romantic love. There are so many different other pictures of romantic love. And I imagine, thank you for being so vulnerable about that. I remember you posting about it and a lot of people resonating with it. There was a lot of people who were like, yeah, this rings true for me.
Yeah, I remember posting that too. And, you know, I had some people send me some DMs and some people didn't feel comfortable sharing a photo. Some people did share a photo with me of them with, you know, with their smaller partner, of women with their smaller male partner. I remember posting it and then getting more feedback from people, from other people saying like, you know, thank you so much for sharing this. This makes me, you know, feel a lot more normal about, you know, my size in the relationship. It's just, it's not something that's widely seen, right? We're not seeing images like that very often. So it's hard to feel like that is normal. That's okay. It's okay. And so I've sort of been sitting in this discomfort for a while now because I've been bigger than my partner for a while now, especially since I started gaining some more weight after being in recovery. I started gaining more weight and, you know, feeling noticeably different than he. But, you know, sitting in this discomfort of, you know, I may be bigger than him and I might be even bigger than him in the future. And what will that look like? And what happens if I have a baby and then my body changes again, right? And what if, you know, my body just naturally goes through changes and I'll be bigger than him for most of my life, maybe always, because that's just might be the nature of our body differences. He's just naturally smaller. And this is where I naturally sit. This is my happy weight. My body might change again, like I said. And so just being willing to sit in the discomfort of that, knowing that it does not change the value of my relationship at all. It doesn't change our love. It doesn't change what we have, what we've built. Our body size differences are not important, and remembering that. But that's all that to say, it's sometimes I do get lost in a negative thought. I know that. I know that objectively, that it doesn't change the value of my relationship or the worth of it or how good it is. But there's sometimes I have this little thought that's like, huh, maybe you should be smaller than him. And so just sort of working through that.
I do this thing a lot where I talk about a head to heart knowledge transfer. So we know things cognitively, but for whatever reason, there's a disconnect and it doesn't hit our heart. So I wonder if it'd be okay if I ask you some questions about this, because I feel like this is going to be really relatable to people. Sort of how you were describing that you fangirl over me. I fangirl over
Natalie's fiance. I love him so much. Z, he's just, he's the best. I'm wondering, when you brought this to him, I remember actually you were talking about feelings about gaining weight, even though you think your body's now at your set weight point. Do you remember what advice he had given you in that moment?
Yeah. Is it okay for me to share that moment?
Please.
Okay. So it's actually as a highlight in my Instagram because it was profound and people resonated with it. But one night I was going through my closet, trying on some older clothes that I hadn't tried on in a while. And I think I was doing it just to see what fit me and what didn't and what I was going to give away. And I had every intention of giving stuff away because I knew that there were stuff in there that didn't fit me. And Zach was working in the next room and I was just sort of going through my clothes. And I just sort of sat on my bed after trying on a bunch of clothes that didn't fit me anymore. And I just felt sad. I felt grief. I felt body grief. I was like, I missed the body that just fit into all these clothes effortlessly, or what seemed like effortlessly, right? Now I remember the mental effort and physical effort it took to fit into those, but it felt like, oh, well, I was just in whatever clothes I wanted. And there's grief in not being able to do that anymore. And that's what I was feeling that night. And I could recognize it very much. I had the self-awareness to realize that that was grief after following you, Brie, for so long and understanding what my body grief was, and then feeling that that was the feeling. So I sat on the bed and I was just feeling a bit sad. Zach came over a little bit later and he was like, you know, he didn't know what had happened. And he was like, what's going on? And I told him, right, that I'm feeling the weight gain. I'm really feeling the grief of the weight gain and how that's sort of like impacted my ability to fit into these clothes. And he said something to me about gaining. He said, Natalie, in every other context, the word gain is positive. He said, in every other context, you gain wealth, you gain friendship, you gain connection, you gain all of these great things in life. Gaining is positive. It's on the positive side of the spectrum. But for whatever reason, when it comes to your weight, gaining weight is a bad thing. Don't you think that's interesting? And he said, so can you think about all the things that you've gained in the last year that you've moved in last year when you've moved to Denver? I know, tears. Like, he's like, can you think of all the things you've gained? You've gained a master's degree. You've gained a career. You've gained amazing connections. You've gained so many great things that are positive, and your weight gain happened alongside of those things and what that's brought you. And it's brought you presence in your life and being able to connect with people without a focus on your body. Because he knows that I used to spend so much freaking time thinking about my body and losing myself in moments because I was so consumed with my body. And all these things that happened to me this year, getting engaged, getting my master's, starting my career, all these beautiful, wonderful things had nothing to do with my body. And I was able to be fully present. So he said, look what you've gained and look at how that's positive. And so that was just like an amazing reframe that just changed my life and also like really impacted other people when they heard that same sentiment.
I mean, it impacted me for sure. And I love you being able to identify this as grief, because there is grief in not being able to fit into clothes that we once fit into. And also too, in the same vein, there's probably grief in realizing your body size might be bigger than your partner's, and that's not what you thought it was going to be. And can right. we make space for that? And so one of the things that you and I do a lot, and again, so we both are Enneagram 2, so we are very others focused. And I always joke that I've never had a friend in my life who just gets me as much as you do. And I'm wondering, we talk about this concept of sitting in the suck. And what has that looked like for you in this body grief?
Yeah, it does suck sometimes, Brie. It just sucks, right? And sometimes there's nothing that anybody can say. There's no enough posts that I can read that will make me feel better about it. And sometimes it just sucks. So realizing that has been really crucial to my healing, that sometimes I'm just going to sit on my bed and I'm going to sit in the suck. And so that night, even though Zach gave me a reframe, he didn't say anything to me like, you're still small, or your body hasn't changed that much, or you've only gained like this much. He said, yeah, that does suck. And you've gained so much. The way for us to sit in that stuff, he didn't say, but, right? Like, but look at you, you're fine, you're good. Like, you have all these other clothes that fit you and you feel good in, right? Like, he said, yeah, you know, that does suck. And I realize that that's hard to like not be able to fit into those clothes. And you've gained so much with the weight that you've gained. And so I think there's a way for us to sit in the suck, Brie, and know that things are the way they are for certain reasons. And we are going to be okay. And this feeling will pass. I feel like shit right now. And I know that this feeling will pass. My supervisor, my wonderful supervisor, Becca, shout out to her, Becca Moravec, just an amazing human being.
We love her.
Love her so much. She gave me an analogy to use with a client, which was so helpful. She said, you are the blue sky and your feelings are weather. And sometimes it's a tornado. And sometimes it's a huge gust of wind. Sometimes it's a hurricane. Sometimes it's storms and thunder and lightning. But you are the blue sky. And those things are weather and they will pass. And I sit in that feeling. I sit in this reminder of, I am the blue sky. I am the blue sky. And the negative body image thoughts, gremlins, and these toxic thought patterns and feelings are weather and they will pass.
There's so many thoughts we could go off on a tangent in. And I just feel like one of the things I want to draw attention to is that this sort of cues in on this idea of radical acceptance. Is it doesn't mean you have to like it. I think people think that when we get to the stage of grief, of acceptance, it's going to be like, yay, I'm bigger than my partner. It's more of, okay, this is what it is. And my partner still loves me, even though my body has changed, and that it's grieving me more than it's grieving him. And so what story am I telling myself? What's coming up for me that makes this so uncomfortable? And that's why I always talk about body image being belief systems. It's how we interpret our body and interpret the world, because our body's going to change. Our bodies change. But what's the story? What's the belief system there that makes us fearful of our bodies changing?
Yeah. And really looking at what's at the root, right? What's at the actual root? What my fear or my feelings of my body being bigger, body, looking different than my partner's, what's under that? Is it that I maybe feel undesirable, or that I maybe will feel rejected by society or people that look at the photos? It's a deep-seated fear of something else that has nothing to do with my body. And that is where I think that's the interesting work, and that's the meaningful work, is like really looking at the belief system and what does it say about me? And what does it say about my belief systems? And that's the part that I need to work on. And so I think that often, when we can't go that deep, we stay up here on the surface that says, well, I just changed my body and that fixes everything. But what's really causing those feelings to come up in the first place? And, the struggle comes from this existential crisis and this wanting to be loved and wanting to have connection and wanting to feel worthy and not actually having to do with my body at all. So I ask myself, how can I tend to those things? And so asking myself, right, what's the story that I tell myself? How can I then communicate that with myself and with my partner? Like, the story I'm telling myself about you being bigger than me in pictures is that maybe you don't like my body. And then being able to actually talk that out with him, and him being like, your body is just your body. I love who you are, right? Like, having that talk, I know, tears, so many tears. Like, having that talk is so much more meaningful, because hearing that I'm bigger than my partner is a surface level thing. That's the surface. Everything that matters and the reason behind that is underneath that.
And also a legitimate fear. Like, it doesn't undo the fear. That is legitimate. And sure. I also want to acknowledge too that everyone's going to understand, like, oh, no wonder we love Zach. Z is just the best. But if you were with a partner who was feeling these ways about you, I think there are parts of our mind where it's like, well, it's a confirmation bias, as opposed to, do I want to be with somebody who only loves me for what my body looks like? You acknowledged it before that you still have thin privilege and you didn't have to earn that. You just exist in a smaller body. And so for someone like me, I remember the biggest fear was, if I'm not smaller, no one will see the goodness that I am. Like, I feel like I'm wearing a fat suit and they won't get to know me because they'll judge me for what I look like. And now, 3, 4, 5 years later, I don't want to be with somebody who doesn't see that, because I see the value in myself, that if my fatness scares you from loving me, it says far more about you than it does me. But my fear was rooted in, is no one going to love me? Am I going to miss out on love because of that?
And that makes sense, Bri. And I also want to validate that that is also a real fear, regardless of you knowing that that's a bunch of BS and that you deserve to be with someone who loves you for who you are and that you won't stop until you get that. That fear is real, especially when we live in a super fat phobic society that marginalizes people in larger bodies and makes them feel less than and makes them feel only worthy when they're smaller. And that fear is legitimate and real. But the work that you've done to get to where you are, to know that your self-worth is inherent, has nothing to do with what you look like, and that you are lovable exactly as you are right now without changing a thing, that is amazingly beautiful work that you have done to get to that place in a society that treats people in larger bodies like shit. And the fact that you can know that and feel it and then spread that message is just like, your voice in this community, in this world, is so powerful, so meaningful, and has changed people's lives. Makes me emotional.
And you're gonna make me cry. I cried yesterday in the podcast I recorded too. And I think that just acknowledging the difficulty, the discomfort, and naming it, and naming it. She is legit crying over here and gonna make me cry.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. And I think too, when we have had a narrative in our brain, and I don't know if you, this was a narrative you were taught. This narrative was told to me that you won't find love in a fat body.
Oh my God. You won't
find it. And so if somebody is listening to this, they're like, but yes, but I know this. Like, I have been rejected because of my fat body. I am telling you, yes, that exists. It exists. I'm not going to tell you that it doesn't exist. But what I'd argue is that that's not love. That's not love.
That isn't love. And that's not your person, right? Like,
that is not your person.
Right? Like, it's going to love you in whatever body you inhabit throughout the rest of your life. Yeah. Because your body will inevitably change. And if they don't, then that person's not for you. That's just how it goes. But that takes work to get to that self-worth place of knowing that you are deserving of it. And that you get to have that, that love is not reserved for people in smaller bodies.
Oh, there's so many caveats we could go off on here, but I think back to being 25 when I had this realization that, wow, I am afraid to exist in a fat body because I'm afraid that it means I won't find love. And so I decided to date out loud, like in fear. I was like, I'm going to go on dates and I'm going to do this. And so my advice to people is do it scared, do it terrified, because it's not going to change. I was still afraid. It was doing the thing, realizing, oh, I can get dates. Oh, people want to date me. People are finding me attractive. It's not changing the fear narrative that's going on in my head, but it's challenging it at the same time.
Exactly. You saying that just reminded me of one of my favorite Glennon Doyle quotes, which I actually had framed for Connie for her birthday because it was so meaningful. Be messy and complicated and afraid and show up anyways. And so that reminds me so much of what you're talking about, and that we can be afraid and we can even come to the table with doubt and fear and concern and even maybe some self-worth issues and not feeling like we deserve it and still show up anyway. And so that's like you being like, I dated out loud, even though it was uncomfortable. That goes back to tolerating the discomfort and that there is so much good to be had when we tolerate the discomfort that we feel.
And so just for listeners, Natalie, Becca, and Connie and I have a little Enneagram 2 group, and we call ourselves, tell them what we call ourselves.
We call ourselves the Big 2 Energy, because there is a whole lot of Big 2 Energy going on in this group.
I've never felt more seen by a group of people before in my life. And they're all in Colorado. I'm like, I just need to move to Colorado.
Can you please? We're going to do an amazing mountain weekend.
I know, we're post-COVID. But yeah, so that the idea of showing up messy is so powerful. And this idea of distress tolerance. So I actually kind of want to come back to, so you did just get engaged recently. Did any of those feelings come up when you saw pictures?
No. And I actually want to share this. So like I said, Zach is smaller than I am and he doesn't like pick me up or like, I don't like go on his back or anything. And it's probably because of my own, like, I just won't do that because he can't hold me because I'm too heavy. Some like narrative I have in my head. And the photographer asked for one of the pictures that he lifts me up. he lifts me up in the photo, and my immediate reaction was like, and he's like gonna lift me up from like under my butt, and he's gonna lift me up and he's gonna hold me up above, higher than himself. And I'm like, oh goodness, this is gonna be a disaster. And that's my first immediate thought, but I did it anyway. I could have said, no, I'm not doing that pose, but I was like, I'm gonna do this anyway. I'm gonna show up messy and complicated and afraid, and I'm gonna just do this photo anyway. And I did it, and he could hold me, and he put me up. We had this sweet little moment where we were looking at each other and then doing one where we were kissing, and it was really sweet. And the photo came back, and it's our favorite photo of the bunch. And I love it not because of what my body looks like. I love it because, for a couple of reasons. I love it because it's a meaningful photo, and it's a beautiful photo. And I love it because I didn't let my fear of what it could have looked like, or fear of him not being able to hold me, keep me from getting into that pose. And so that was such a big revelation. I'm so glad you asked about the photos, because when we saw them, I was like, I love this photo. And this was the photo that I was like, oh God, this is going to turn out horrible. And I didn't even want to do the pose, but I did it anyway. And the photo was beautiful.
Wow. That's probably one of my favorite photos of the whole bunch. They were all gorgeous and beautiful. And it's actually interesting. And we haven't talked about this, but there was a moment of grief for myself in seeing that photo, because my thought was, a partner's never going to be able to do that with me. And in prior times, that might have set me on a trajectory of like, well, now I need to just make my body smaller. And when you can acknowledge the dissonance of, what does this mean for me if my partner can't lift me up? Another grief for me, I think I've shared this, I have very short legs, and the way that my stomach sits, I don't have a very big lap. So it's really hard for my niece or my nephew to sit on my lap. And it grieves me. It makes me sad that I cannot hold them on my lap in the way that I would want to. There was always this thought of, my partner is never going to be able to carry me through the threshold after we get married. And what does that say to me? Why does that make me sad? And the narrative that comes up for me, and this is real time, is that it feels like my body has failed, that I'm not able to do what bodies are able to do. Cognitive higher self brain knows that that's not true, that that's not true, that that is just one picture of what bodies are supposed to do when you get married, or like that you have to have your partner be able to lift you up. My niece and nephew have no problem sitting on top of me. They make it work. And even the other day, my nephew was like, your belly is in the way. I was like, I know, make it work.
Yeah, I mean, Brie, what comes up for me when you say all that is the fact that Zach could pick me up doesn't mean anything. He never picks me up. That was like a one time that he did. But yet he lifts me up emotionally all the time. And so what matters more? Does it matter more that your nephews and nieces can sit on your lap, or that you show them abundant love in a million other meaningful ways? Does it matter more that your future partner will never be able to pick you up, or that your future partner can be everything that you need emotionally and can keep you going and can lift your spirits and be supportive of you? It's so interesting that we harp on this physical aspect of things when that's not actually where the meaningful part of the relationship is. The meaningful part of the relationship is, how do you lift me up emotionally? How do you carry me? How do you carry me when I'm feeling down? How can you keep me going? It has nothing to do with what we can actually physically hold or handle, and has everything to do with how we show love and how we can care for each other emotionally. It has nothing to do with that, but yet we harp on this physical aspect. What you do for your niece and nephew means so much more than whether or not they can have a seat on your lap or not.
Wow. Wow. Oh my gosh. Now that's going to make me emotional, because it's so true, because there's still a narrative in my head of like, well, why can't I? And this is where I want people to feel you're not alone, is that it's okay to feel that. And I think what happens is we get stuck. If we're talking about the layers, we get stuck in that initial spot of what makes me uncomfortable, as opposed to, well, what is it saying to me? Does this align with my beliefs? And does it matter? Would it matter for someone else? And if I had a client that said that to me, I would say exactly what you just said. And we can hold both at the same time. You can sit in the suck. You can be sad that you can't do this, and also recognize, I am so much more than my body, but not as a Band-Aid fix to be like, well, don't worry about the discomfort. It's, yeah, this exists, And also too, what's important about the relationship? The way you worded that was just so beautiful.
I was just gonna say, it's so true.
I kind of wanted to also come back to pictures because I feel like this is another way that people grieve their bodies. And I feel two things. One, I think we are acutely unaware of our own body dysmorphia. Anytime I've looked at pictures, I think that I'm huge in that picture. And then when I look back at times, I'm like, oh, wow, I really had no context of what I looked like. But two, I think that pictures are another way that we measure ourselves without the scale. So even if you're not weighing yourself, it's, oh, well, I'm bigger in this photo. Or we find other ways to like, oh, my clothes are a little tighter or my seatbelt's a little, we're just finding new ways to find a scale and weigh ourselves. And so what do you think about pictures? What do you think that makes pictures so hard and photography?
There's so many things about pictures. It's a snapshot in time that tells you maybe what you don't think or know. It captures you, especially when you don't like the photo, and it comes back to what's the belief system. It captures this photo of you. And then you go back and you look at the phone and you're like, oh my gosh, that was awful. That's what I look like. That's sort of what the feeling that comes up for a lot of people when they see a bad photo or a photo that they don't like of themselves. No photo is a bad photo, by the way. Aaron Flores taught me that. He said they're all good about photos. And I just love him. I think that's the feeling that comes up. It's like, that's what I look like. And to me, I think that's what I look like to other people. So other people saw me like that. Ugh, I wonder what they think. It comes back to what's under that. It's not the photo. It's, do people think that I'm not worthy? Do people think that I'm not attractive? Do people think I'm undesirable?
Do they think that I've let myself go? Do they think that I'm lazy? All of these narratives. Right. And really what I think that it comes down to is this confirmation bias, is we believe those things about ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a lot of confirmation bias. And it serves as this reminder of, yeah, I am gross then, because this is what it looks like. But it's so interesting that you bring up this idea that, like, when we look back at older photos that we once didn't like, and we're like, oh, I look good there. That just is, again, just the reminder that body image is a mental thing. It's not a physical thing. Then it's how we view our bodies at that time and how messed up that can become.
If we want to get even more messier, I think anytime I've seen a photo of somebody who has gained weight, my thought isn't like, oh, that's so sad. Like, they gained weight. It's almost like, thank God. Whew, they've gained weight too. I'm not alone. Oh. Interesting, right? Oh.
That is interesting. But I think that's some more trying to make yourself feel better about your own weight gain. And this is how we thrive in community. We look at other people and we're like, oh, we're not alone, because we want some kind of validation externally that says, I'm not alone and I'm not weird. I'm normal for this. Yeah. And that's what we try to do on our Instagrams, is be like, this is normal for you to look like this, to feel like this, to gain weight. These things are all normal. Yeah. But I like to try to get to a place where we can find that validation and confirmation within ourselves without having to see that somebody else did too. Of course, that makes us feel better inherently because we want to feel not alone. But how can we know that our weight gain is okay even if somebody else doesn't gain weight?
Yes. Even going back to, I had acknowledged the thin privilege that you hold, that maybe you're slightly bigger than your partner, but what if you were significantly bigger than your partner?
Then what
would that mean?
Exactly. And that's the discomfort that I forced myself to sit with. There may be a time where I'm a lot bigger than my partner, and maybe he won't be able to physically hold me again. What will that mean? And does it mean anything? Mm-hmm. And sort of getting to the root of that, and also acknowledging my thin privilege that I have right now to even be held by my partner physically, but knowing that one day I might not be able to, and one day my body might look extremely different than his. My body could change drastically throughout my life. Coming to radical acceptance with that is not easy. Mm-hmm. It is not easy, but that is a suck I am willing to sit in.
Yes. Yes. I wonder if you had any final tips or thoughts of when we sit in the suck, how do we build this skill around distress tolerance? That's just like a fancy way of saying sitting in the suck, because this distress tolerance is, I can do hard things. I can do things that are difficult. And even though it's difficult, it's not going to end my life. It's not going to be the end of me. Tomorrow, the sun's going to come up and I might feel differently. So what are your suggestions?
I love this idea that discomfort is temporary. I always tell my clients, discomfort's not going to kill you. We can sit in discomfort. We've done hard things in the past. we can do them again. We've sat in days and months of worth of discomfort before, and we have been uncomfortable in so many situations. We can do it again. And so I'm going back to my weather analogy, because you just said the sun will come up. You just said that. The sun will come up again, and that tomorrow may look different, and maybe I'll feel okay tomorrow. So remembering that we're the blue sky, and that the feelings that we're having are weather, and no storm lasts forever, and no gust of wind lasts forever, and no rain, pouring rain lasts forever, and the clouds will open up again. And so knowing that that's possible, it's not only possible, that's going to happen, right? Because we are the sky, and these things are weather, and weather passes. How can we sit in that? And just remembering that it will pass. It might feel so icky right now and so awful, but can we remember that it will pass and that we won't always feel this way? And there is light and there is sunshine and there is a big, beautiful blue sky out there waiting for us on the other side.
It's so beautiful. And if you're listening to this and you're like, it feels like it's been raining for a long time, then I will come with an umbrella and I'll stand with you and we will sit in that suck till you're ready, till you're ready. That's what sitting in the suck looks like. Yeah. Now I know, totally. I know that I could talk to you forever. And this was sort of like the first time we've been able to catch up in a long time, but can you tell my listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Need to Talk. The need is like a bread need, because I enjoy baking. When I don't have my therapy hat on, I have my baker's hat on. So I Need to Talk. And you can follow me there for daily self-love tidbits and therapy thoughts and lots of body love and kindness. And then to work with me, you have to be a Colorado resident, but you can find me at www.fullbloomcounseling.com. Send me a note if you are a Colorado resident.
Amazing. Nat, thank you so, so much for taking the time to be here today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Bree. I just adore you.
Hey, friends. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Body Image with Bree. If you like what you heard, please like and subscribe to this podcast, comment a review below, or share this link with someone you care about. If you share this episode on Instagram, be sure to tag me at Body Image with Bree so I can follow along with your podcast listening journey. If you're interested in learning more about my offerings, feel free to check out my website, bodyimagewithbree.com. Thanks for being here, and until next time.